Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Nobody's talking about Guy.
Let's lock it up with Landry in the locker room.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
Lock it up.
Lock it up.
Presented by Consolidated Communications.
Lock it up.
You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Some Texans nuggets before we get into the locker room. Just some news from the weekend. Deshaun Watson will be a Pro Bowler. He's going to replace Tom Brady in that game. So congrats to the Texans quarterback for his first Pro Bowl appearance. Also, the Texans will face the Jacksonville Jaguars in London, and the team also agrees on a one-year contract worth a max value of $4.5 million with right tackle Shontrell Henderson. He was supposed to be the starter heading into the season, actually was on the field against New England, injured his knee or ankle early on in the game, did not return. He was a one-year project last year. It looks like he's going to get another shot this year. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's a low risk, high reward move for the Texans. So the more bodies competing to fix that offensive line, the better.
Yeah, you know, when you talk about offensive line play, the first thing that they've got to do in order to get better is keep the guys they've got. You know, you've got to keep the guys you've got. Now, whether they're starters or they're second string guys, you do have a formidable group that knows the offense, that's familiar with the personnel, and I think keeping those guys, you don't have to keep them all, but keeping those key members of that offensive line that the staff believes in, that the O-line coach believes in, and guys that are young can take the next step. The first part of becoming the offensive line that they want to become is not letting the pieces walk out the door that you need to stay in order to build that good base. And then as far as Deshaun Watson goes, man, you and I talked about it earlier. There's zero doubt about it. He is one of the elite players in an elite league. I mean, he's a guy that tip your hat to him for the way he's entered the league last year and this past season, the way he's played. It's very, very explosive. Not a surprise at all that he's going to the Pro Bowl.
Over the weekend, there was a boxing match. I can't say that I watched a little bit of it, but Manny Pacquiao fought Adrian Bronner. And after the fight, just to pull back the curtain a little bit, Manny Pacquiao basically tapped the brakes off him the whole time. It was almost laughable how bad Manny Pacquiao, the ghost of Manny Pacquiao, kicked his butt. But Adrian Bronner, as he's been known to do, provided the internet with some sound clips. He was interviewed by Jim Gray after the fight, and this is what he had to say.
What did you think about the fight?
I beat him. Everybody out there know I beat him. Everybody out there know I beat him. I controlled the fight. He was missing. I hit him clean more times. I beat him.
You averaged 8 punches. Less than 8 punches was the most punches that you had in the round, and it seemed as though you couldn't get
it
close enough.
It already sounded like it was against me. So I already ain't got a fair shake talking to you. But let me talk something. Let me let y'all know. I want to thank the whole hood who came out here. I love y'all. I did this for the hood. Y'all know I beat that boy. Y'all know I beat that boy. What they trying to do is they trying to get that money again with Pacquiao and Floyd. But it's cool. I ain't worrying about it. I'm still that man. I'm on top. Cincinnati, stand up. West Side, 2-5.
You're 3-3-1 in your last 7 fights. What will you do next?
Hey, I'm 3-3-1 my last 7, but I'll be 7-0 against you.
Well, that wouldn't mean much. That's the end of this interview.
That is classic. That's great. Hey, you landed 8 punches. Oh, I can already see you're not against me. You're not for me. You're against me.
It's Adrian Bronner.
You sure that wasn't Chris Rock?
I'm positive that wasn't Chris Rock.
Or Tucker, which one of them? It sounded like one of them boys.
Nah, it wasn't. It wasn't either one of them. He is almost like a Saturday Night Live character. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Steven, you're in the locker room. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I just had a question. It seems like Julian Edelman, as a slot receiver, destroys teams from the, you know, the third down and nines, the third down and tens. It seems like he destroys teams. So my question is, why didn't the Kansas City defense coordinator look at that and try to take away the Julian Edelman and Rob Gronkowski? To me, it seems like Julian Edelman is a stud in his league, and I don't think he gets the right credit that he deserves. But I just wanted to know why teams don't prepare for those big time receivers making those clutch plays.
I don't think it's preparation. I think he's just one of those guys that when the lights are the brightest, Julian Edelman comes through. And let's be honest, on third and nine, quarterback's going to go to who he trusts. Julian Edelman and Tom Brady trust each other, and he goes to him. Second all-time leading receiver in playoff history, by the way, to Jerry Rice.
Wow, that's impressive, man. And we're sitting here talking about whether he's good enough to beat man coverage, right? But, I mean, look, I mean, here's the deal with what – there's a fine line between preparation and over-prep, right? I mean, Kansas City's a man-to-man defense. Sutton, their D.C., I believe it's Sutton, Bob Sutton, I believe – he is a man-to-man guy. He has been hammered recently about playing so much man and getting beat so often. He loves to play man-to-man. He's going to live and die with it. No, any way you slice it. And here's the thing about Brady is when Brady gets the man-to-man matchup that he wants with Gronk, he's going to go to Gronk. When he doesn't, he's going to check it down. He's going to find the best mismatch according to what they're playing. They were a lot of man. When he got the right man on Edelman in the slot, he popped him. When he put Gronk out wide and got the right man out there, he popped him. When he didn't get the matchups he wanted, White was catching a rock out of the backfield. The tailback was catching the ball out of the backfield, or Michelle was running inside. So a lot of times it's not about prep. It's like what you said, Landry. It's you can over prep and overthink things instead of, hey, Brady, you just go do what you do and find the best matchups. They're going to be in man a large percentage of the time, and let's just march down the field. And when they got aggressive, we were talking about it earlier, Landry. I should have repeated this earlier. It was blatantly obvious in this game when New England was up, and it appeared that they had control of the game, that there was a mindset of we're going to milk the clock. They were playing slow. They were okay running the football. They were okay chewing up the clock. And then the second that Kansas City, I can't remember if they ever got within 3 points or maybe when they took the lead, it was the whole, and it's obvious that they had to change their approach because they were losing the football game. But it went from one extreme to the other immediately, and these guys transitioned flawlessly and just started dropping bombs and fireworks all over the field.
Could I interest you in a stat, Clint?
Sure, I love stats.
44 minutes was the time of possession. It was the time that New England had the football. 44-16.
Wow.
They outrushed the Chiefs by 130 yards. What is the best way to keep a high power offense from putting points
keep
on you?
Keep them off the field.
And
brother,
that's exactly what New England did.
Keep them off the field or turn them over, man. There's no doubt.
As great as Tom Brady is, the run game was just as significant in yesterday's win, and that's what makes the Patriots the Patriots, and that's what makes other teams that are so reliant on their quarterback sitting at home watching the Patriots this time of the year.
Yeah, well, his ability, his pinpoint accuracy and getting the ball out on time with those underneath routes, they're just like runs, you know? I mean, it's just like runs for them. It keeps the clock moving. They're all sure-handed guys. If they're open, Brady's going to get them the rock 99% of the time, and they're going to make the catch, and so the clock's going to keep churning. And I knew it was lopsided. I didn't know it was that lopsided. 44-16, that is, wow, that's hard to believe. It's another one of those stats you throw at me that's like, it's hard to believe that the Patriots held them to zero the first half, but all those numbers you keep throwing out there in support of how well that defense played, it is baffling.
It's unbelievable. On the other side of things, of course, the pass interference call that wasn't. This is Sean Payton whining about it after the game.
They blew the call, and man, there were a lot of opportunities, though, but that call puts it first and 10. We're on an E3 plays, and it's a game-changing call. It's where it's at, so it's disappointing. Credit the Rams. They made enough plays, though. They won the game. The kicker made some big kicks, but for a call like that not to be made, man, it's just hard to swallow. Should never have not been a call. They said not only was it interference, it was helmet to helmet. There were two calls. They couldn't believe it.
don't know what to say, Sean. Maybe you should run the ball on first down and not make your give them as much time. When you throw the ball, that's the risk that you take, especially in that situation. I think you should have trusted his defense a little bit more. I know that you got to watch the tape and stuff, but I think Alvin Kamara should get more than 8 carries. He got 19 the first time around and had 2 touchdowns, 82 yards. I know he was involved in the pass game. I thought he should have got it a little bit more. And Drew Brees, you're a Hall of Fame quarterback. You got the ball to start overtime through an interception, and that's why you took the L.
Stop it.
Stelling
it was a game-changing no-call. Worst call in the history.
I'm not disputing that, but I'm just
Let's talk about this. Let's talk about the kicker that made the long field goal with about 25 yards. Legatron. With about 25 yards to spare.
That was a 57-yarder.
Coach, that would have been good from 70. No question, good from 70.
I mean, normally when you're watching a 57-yard field goal, there's at least some sort of suspense. That was ridiculous.
Nobody's talking about guy.
That was like blitz. That was like a video game.
Gut shot that one. And it would have been good from 20 further. That was impressive. I'm sitting there going, he's going to miss. We're going to get a little bit more football. Yada, yada, yada. He never a doubt. He just hammered it home.
You know what's going to happen, right? I mean, Drew Brees right now, 40 years old. I think he signed a 2-year contract.
Yep. Two years,
50 million. So he has one more year left on his new deal.
So he's coming back.
He's coming back, but I think after he's done, and I think there's a strong chance that, unlike Brady, Brees could probably retire sooner rather than later. He's not talking about playing until he's 45, or he could be. Sean Payton's going to be the next coach of the Cowboys. I think if there were prop bets in Las Vegas, I think that's why Jason Garrett has as much rope as he does. Jerry Jones has been flirting with Sean Payton for a long time. He started out there. He lives in Westlake out there in DFW, which is a nice area. I know you're familiar with that. Sean Payton's going to be the next coach of the Cowboys.
I didn't frequent those parts of Dallas you did.
No, but
I know
frequent?
What you're talking
where'd you
about.
Frequent?
I can't tell it on national radio, man. I can't tell.
Oh, a little off Harry Hines? Off Harry Hines?
I frequented them all, man.
A little BYOB action?
We frequented them all. We didn't discriminate. We just hung out and had a good time, baby. Look, I believe that if you watch those two quarterbacks play, I believe Brady's closer to retirement than Brees is.
Really?
Yeah. When you watch him play, I mean, Brees is still playing like he's 25 years old. Brady, I think Brady feels it. I think he doesn't move. He's never moved well, but he doesn't move as well as he once did.
But he makes it seem like he wants to play forever. I will say this though, Clint, I'm the podium critic, so I put a lot of stock in interviews after the game and before the game and stuff.
Right.
I've never seen Tom Brady that giddy after a game. And it's like when Urban Meyer, when they beat Michigan this year, you said it earlier this year, and I said it as well, that I thought this was going to be Urban Meyer's last year at Ohio State for whatever reason.
Right.
But as soon as I saw his wife sitting there crying during the Michigan game, like hysterically, I knew with 100% certainty this is his last game. He's done.
Yeah.
Because he beats Michigan all the time. This isn't that big of a deal. So I knew that, well, it's a big deal, but you know what I mean. I think that Tom Brady getting that giddy, I could see him. I could maybe see, I'll put it at like 38%. I could see him winning this Super Bowl and then riding off into the sunset.
I hope he doesn't, because I love watching what they have and how they win games. And I think it's the last of a dying breed. You know, I think they got a pretty good culture and a winning culture. At Alabama, and I think they got a winning culture at Clemson. I think they got a old school winning culture at New England. And it's just refreshing to watch those guys win and do more with less. So I hope he sticks around. But man, when I watch him play, brother, I see an old quarterback playing when I watch Brady. I mean, as clutch as he is, the arm's not what it once was. He never could move as well as he once could. It just seems like he's tired.
Okay.
When I watch Brees,
you calling your shot then?
When I watch
last of Tom Brady, or
he can win this one and ride off in the sunset.
You think so? Okay.
I think he is.
All right. Mark that, Figgy. We got that. By the way, you mentioned the winning culture at Alabama and New England.
Yep.
How pathetic does Cleveland have to be to have had Bill Belichick as their head coach with Nick Saban as their defensive coordinator for multiple years, and they were the laughingstock at that time?
Them boys couldn't get out of there quick enough.
It's absolutely ridiculous. It's In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. No disrespect to you, Figgy. I saw you rolling your eyes on the other side of the glass.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.